Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back. So let's just change the camera. Yeah, go on, change that about. Good effort. Good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And that's game week three done and dusted, Sam, in the books. And what a game week three we had. Some very, very unusual scores. My mood, I have to say, is very, very good. It might not have been, to be honest. At halftime in the Newcastle-Liverpool game, I was thinking, do I even want to go on a live stream and do that tonight? Because I was raging with how that first half went. But the second half, you can never keep a good man down, can you? Darwin Núñez. Can't keep him down.
Just saying. I love Darwin Núñez.
He's still not an option in FPL. We're going to talk about him in a minute. No, you can't pick him in FPL.
Why?
We'll talk about it later. You're going to bring in Darwin Núñez. Okay, great. Yeah,
Love him.
Lots and lots of interesting scores. Who foresaw Fulham getting a point at Arsenal this weekend? Who foresaw Nottingham Forest going 2-0 up against Manchester United in 5 minutes, which was incredible? And then the fight back from Manchester United was just as good. Who saw an unbelievably good footballing performance from the Tottenham Hotspurs? Very, very good. We've got to talk about your lot. And we've got to talk a little bit about a very good performance, albeit at home to Luton. I understand that. But Chelsea, very good as well with a big win there. And also, we've said in the thumbnail about the two players, or I've put in the title of the YouTube video, about the two players that are going to be on a lot of FPL radars this week, Maddison and Sterling. And is it time for a bit of a midfield makeover, given that Arsenal and Manchester United play each other ahead of game week four?
You're pleased with that line, aren't you?
What?
The midfield makeover?
Why?
Why you said it, I was like, yeah, you're pleased with that line.
Yeah. Well, there's a few people dropping wild cards I've seen on Twitter. There's a few like, I've got to hit the button and go wild card. I must say, neither of us, I think, are in that camp. I'm certainly not considering wild carding. I think the team's in reasonable shape.
Mine looks great.
I think so. Yeah, mine seems in okay shape. But, you know, you want to get Núñez, so wild card, right?
No, I've got loads of money in the bank. Sergio Pedro for Núñez. What could possibly go wrong?
Well, do you know what? My team is in reasonable shape, but I have got a couple of issues that need sorting out. Gabriel is one of them, right? I did actually think he was going to get the start against Fulham. I really did.
But
yes,
we had this conversation, didn't we? We both thought that.
Yeah.
What lesson have I learnt this week is that I should never argue with Jules Lerond when it comes to Arsenal.
Well, yeah, he called
because
it, right?
Because he did specifically tell me that he thought I was wrong and that it would be set out exactly as Arteta did.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, Jules. And then I didn't listen.
Yeah. Well, coming into this game week, I was willing to give him this week because Zinchenko did come on towards the end of game week two. I thought, well, if Zinchenko plays, there's a bit of a narrative there that says Gabriel will get the start, Ben White will go right, and Zinchenko will be the one that inverts. You know, we spoke about it during the week, didn't we? And if that was going to happen, then I'll give Gabriel the Fulham game because I fancied Arsenal for the clean sheet and it didn't work out like that in the end. But obviously I did fancy him for the clean sheet at home to Fulham. As it happens, I've had a massive slice of jam. I'm usually the one to be on the other end of some jam. But I will hold my hands up and say when we come to our teams later on today,
I could not believe the player you benched, by the way.
Massive slice of jam because I absolutely benched the wrong player this week.
I could not believe it.
Absolutely benched the wrong player, but he came off my bench because of Gabriel, and I've got well lucky. But
again,
the narrative, as Nigel the Crab is quite rightly saying, Si Badette, hey Si, how you doing, mate? In the chat, Gabriel is done. He is. Because that Fulham game, in my head, I was like, if he doesn't start and he goes with Kivior or he goes with some other back four that sort of doesn't make sense, then he's done. And I've got to get rid of him.
You know what you need? As I told you.
Yeah.
I told you on the Ohana, and the guys in the Slack will testify.
Mm.
It was your destiny this week.
It was my destiny to bring him in.
And you chose to ignore destiny.
Do you know what? I was very impressed with him as well. I'm very impressed with Spurs. Maybe we'll start there in just a second. But before we do, Sam, we're going to say hello to a few people. Let's get in the chat and say hi to, here he is, Cyberdet, Nigel the Crab, one of our YouTube members. How are you, mate? Nice to see you. Daniel Banks is in. He says, Luton are going to beat West Ham. I've seen this happen too many times. Yeah, it would be classic Premier League, wouldn't it, for Luton to go and beat West Ham.
It'd be so West Ham for them to be top of the league and then be beaten by Luton.
And even in my intro there, I didn't even mention the fact that West Ham beat Brighton, which was for sure something I didn't see coming at the Amex. And they did an absolute job on Brighton, and fair play to David Moyes and to West Ham because they got it tactically absolutely right. And if you were to just look at the stats, if you were to look at SofaScore, whatever, and just look at the stats from that game, you'd be like, how have Brighton lost that game? Mm-hmm. How? Because on paper, it's like they dominated, and they did, no doubt about it. Yeah. I noticed actually on the Fantasy Football Scout members area, Lewis Dunk is top for passing this week. He's also top for touches in the opponent's half. So that tells you how dominant and how high-pressed Brighton were in that game. And West Ham just sucked it up and hit him on the counter. They were unbelievable. Unbelievable. Good. And we've got to talk about James Ward-Prowse as well, right? Because now he's well on the radar, isn't he? Absolutely on the radar. Wilco is here. How are we doing, Wilco? Nice to see you. Ryan Todd is here. We've got Russell Skidmore. Nice to see you, Russell. Kane Cole is here. How are we doing, Kane? Cheryl Edwards. Good evening, Lee and Sam. Hello, Cheryl. Nice to see you. Nice to see you. That's a new name. We've not seen you in here before, so welcome. Cheryl, if you're new to the channel, make sure you hit that subscribe button before you go tonight, won't you? Who else we got? Kenan Lightbender. Coys, Kenan says. Coys, great weekend for Tottenham Hotspur. It was. Absolutely was. Very, very good performance. My brother Craig is here. Craig, how are you, mate? Uncle nice Craig. To see you. Uncle Craig is in.
See you Thursday.
See you on Thursday, mate. FPL Bruno is here. We've got the Smiths. Azzy is in. And we've got, who else? Linus K, Babani Sanka, a whole host of you guys in. Babani saying how good today was Alisson and Dominic Szoboszlai for Liverpool. We are going to talk about Dominic Szoboszlai because he is looking like a proper player, by the way. A proper player. We all know how good Alisson is. Most saves he's ever made in a Premier League game, by the way.
Well, he needed to.
And he needed to. We all know how good he is. But Dominic Szoboszlai looking very, very good indeed. More on him a bit later on. So, Sam, let's get to the results page. Where's my results page? There it is. So here are the results from.
In the Eurovision Song Contest.
I feel like either the guy from Eurovision.
Here are the results of the British vote.
Or do you remember?
With 1 point.
Do you remember? This is good that we're going to show on our age here. But remember when the BBC used to do like final score? Like, here are the results from the Barclays Premier League. Chelsea 3. Luton, nil. Remember all that?
I do remember that.
Remember that? Yeah.
But you brilliant. Sounded more like a Eurovision. I can imagine you there in your sequin jacket, you know, yes. giving out the Euro. That is actually, if I could have any job, that's what I would like. I'd like to be.
What, Eurovision?
The UK person giving out the results of the United Kingdom.
Nice. Yeah.
Can someone get me that job? Somebody must have a contact.
Hold on a minute. FPL's only going to log me out, isn't it? Oh. Hold the line, callers. We're getting there.
Don't give away your login details, whatever you do.
No, I won't be giving any of that away. I just logged in with my thumbprint, didn't I? Right, here we go. Here's the updated scores with all of the scores in. It's tempting to go and start right at the beginning with Chelsea, but I want to go to Spurs because, listen, this requires some conversation because Spurs were very, very good, it has to be said. And FPL assets, I think, are plenty at Spurs, right? I'm not going to talk too much about Richarlison. I thought he had a difficult game. But I did think that Ange Postecoglou, who I'm increasingly liking, by the way. I know you Spurs fans liked him from the beginning. I was like, I'm not sure about this guy. I don't know him. I now think he's a bit of a legend. What he says in press conferences is so good. He's brilliant.
What he says in all conferences is like when he goes on the TV at the end of the match and literally the sound guy tried to mic him up and he was like, we'd always have you told me your name first.
So good.
Amazing.
And what did he say on, like, I think was it BT or something? Some of the pundits were talking about, you know, how are you doing it with this system? Where is it coming from? And he said, oh, no, I'm just copying Pep or something.
Because on Monday night, he was accused of just copying
somebody
Pep.
Sort of dug him out on Twitter or
the
something.
Gary Neville.
I like that. I'm all for it. I think he's got a great personality. And more importantly, that is translating to the players. Mm. Have a look, if you haven't seen it already, on the highlights, the team celebration on the Madison goal, right? The fact that they're there celebrating as a team, all right, it's the silly darts thing, right? But the fact that they're all doing it as a team, they all look happy. As somebody said to me, a very good friend of mine who's a Spurs fan, he said, we've got our Tottenham back. He said, the joy is back in Tottenham and you're playing some good stuff under Big Ange, right? It's really good.
You said to me on Saturday not to get carried away and I said to you, it's not about being carried away.
Yeah, yeah.
It's about the fact that for 2 years, well, more than that really, since Pochettino left, it's felt like... It's felt quite hard to support Spurs. There haven't been, you know, even under Poch, we didn't always have the highs, but the lows were tempered by the fact that we were playing such nice football. And when you go to Spurs, we'd score goals, we were attacking, the players wanted to be there. The last 2 years, it's felt like we've gone to just see out games.
Yeah.
We've not attacked.
Conte ball was not pretty, was it?
No, Nuno Espirito Santo the same.
Oh, yeah.
Mourinho the same. All of it has been very anti what us Spurs fans want. We actually aren't that demanding. We don't ask for going to win leagues and Champions Leagues and everything else. We just want to watch entertaining football. And We've not had that for ages. And the last 3 weeks, Spurs have played attacking, entertaining football.
Mm.
And as a result of that, the fans are fully engaged. They're fully behind it. Like, they've written this song about Postecoglou. Robbie Williams has somehow got hold of it and has sung it on social media tonight, which I'm absolutely loving. Unreal. Check out my Insta stories for that if you haven't seen it already. It's brilliant. But the point I'm making, I think, is that a lot of fans, well, not Spurs fans, but a lot of Premier League fans, I think, saw the Kane leaving thing and thought, well, that's done. They're done.
Yeah.
Because it's right at the death. Actually, I think what it's done is it's made us, it's made the rest of the team go, well, it's about us now.
Mm. We've all got to step up collectively.
We're a team. We're doing this together. The decision to make those three captain and two vice captains, I think, I was really unsure about Sonny as captain. I said that a few times. But genuinely, I think it's a bit of a masterstroke because he's given it to a player that's really good at the kind of being around like individuals and helping people out in Sonny. Yeah. He's given it to Madders, who's there lifting and elevating the team. And given it to Romero, who's got the fight.
Well, talk to us about Maddison then, because he's the one from an FPL perspective that a lot of people are thinking about now.
Yes.
I think it's a cracking signing because there was like, you know, emotionally, where were Spurs fans needed to put their love into somebody? The Harry Kane love, where's that, all that love and adoration for Kane going to go? And it feels like it's going to Maddison.
At the moment, yeah.
At the moment, and that might change. And I want to give a shout out to a couple of other players, like Bissouma.
Yeah.
I mean, oh my God. I mean, not
that's
for
Postecoglou, though.
Not
that's
for FPL, but I put a tweet out there that said, doesn't it show you? I mean, we talk about how much these guys are paid, and fine. I understand that narrative, and I understand why people want to talk about it. But they are human beings, right? They're human beings.
Yep.
And human beings, like Bissouma, react better to somebody like Ange Postecoglou, who's clearly an emotionally intelligent guy. He comes in, puts his arm around him and says, you are going to be my CDM and I believe in you and you're going to be a key part
of the
team.
And he's publicly told people
yes, versus what Conte used to do to him, which was dig him out the whole time and publicly shout and like ridicule him in like publicly. Bissouma doesn't react to that. What he reacts to is somebody actually giving him a bit of a metaphorical hug, right? Oh my God, he was brilliant at the weekend, Bissouma. Yeah. And I'm not saying go out and get him an FPL, definitely not. But what he does do is allow your man Maddison to go and do what he does best. And he absolutely is an option FPL.
But what I loved about Maddison is that what we saw from Maddison in game week 3 was different to what we've seen from Maddison in game week 1 and 2. Because Postecoglou tactically, what I loved about him is he's tactically really astute. Like with Maddison, if Maddison had come under Conte or Mourinho, it would have been the same. We wouldn't have changed tactics at any point. It'd be the same thing. Go and nick a goal, try and defend.
Yeah.
That was all they did. With Postecoglou, he has changed the tactics and the strategy depending upon who we have come up against in these opening 3 game weeks. The tactics against Manchester United were very different to the tactics he deployed against Bournemouth. And with Maddison this week, he was telling him, drop deeper, go deeper. And then get the ball and then go.
But then he finds himself in the box for his goal. He was everywhere. His touch maps, they showed up Match of the Day. He was everywhere. It was an unbelievably good performance from Maddison.
It was. It was absolutely the case. But what I'm enjoying is that the whole system, and we all know that I love Eric Dier, but the whole system...
Right,
no, because we're going there because the whole system is working now. Because we actually have a decent defence. So what we've got is a goalkeeper and a defensive unit that are working, plus Bissouma sitting in front of them who is dealing and helping them. So suddenly that means that the attacking players, Maddison, Son, Richarlison, Kulusevski, they are able to go and be these attacking players because they know that behind them, there's actually people doing a job.
All right. That's enough of a loving about Spurs. FPL I want to talk about, right? Yes, Spurs are good. So let's talk about fixtures and talk about who we're targeted then. So Burnley away, Sheffield United up next. Then it gets a bit more difficult with Arsenal and Liverpool. Then it's Luton and Fulham. I have to say, I've got Maddison in my team. I've got absolutely no intent of selling him unless injured. But certainly any sort of worry that we had about the foot injury going into game week 3 didn't seem to come to the fore during the game. It seemed to be okay.
It's fine.
So Maddison for sure is on my radar. Talk to me about the wingbacks. Talk to me about Destiny Udogie. Because really,
Dogie,
really...
not doggy.
It's Udogie. It's 100% how you say it's Udogie. Chat, Let me know. Is it Udogi or Udogi? I'm telling you, it's Udogi. The way that he kept that ball in, Kulusevski, I don't know, Bournemouth completely fell asleep. But the fact is, he still ran it down, got the ball into Kulusevski, and it was a brilliant assist. Assist and a clean sheet for his owners. What, I don't know how many bonus points he got and stuff, but it's all good, right? So with a run like this, where he's got Burnley and Sheffield United up next, at 4.5 or maybe even 4... Has he had a price rise? 4.6 maybe? I don't know.
I think he's 4.6.
Whatever he is. He's cheap. So I'm looking at him going, well, I've got this Gabriel-sized problem in my back line. I just go for Udogi. It just makes more sense. All right, I'm not invested in the Arsenal defence, but then they've got Manchester United coming up next. And then, all right, Everton, Spurs, Bournemouth, it looks mixed for them. So I probably do want to be invested in Arsenal defence. Or do I? I don't know, based on today and the way that he keeps chopping and changing it. Right now, I'm looking at Spurs and going, well, it's a settled back four. Bissouma's doing a great job in front of them. And I thought...
The goalkeeper is excellent.
I thought Spurs were going to be entertaining. I thought it was going to be, we'll score one more than you and you'll concede loads of goals. Far from it. You look assured. And Bissouma... I don't know what you paid for him a couple of seasons ago, but now that
25
he's...
25 million.
Yeah, well, there you go. In today's market, what's he worth?
125.
Yeah, just Chelsea would pay it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So, listen, Spurs fixtures looking good. I like Udogi, however you want to say it. What's the chat saying? Udogi. There you go. Udogi.
I think it's Udogi. He's not Udogi, is he? He's all going up to be going, Udogi.
People are saying that's how you say his name, Udogi. People are also saying, just call him Destiny, Liam. Be damn with it. Yeah, you're probably right. So Destiny on my radar. Before you say another word, Sam, a quick couple of super chats from Samar95. Thank you, Samar. He says, we missed you last week. We missed you too, but we had a lovely time in Barcelona.
We couldn't really stream from a hotel room with two
kids. We couldn't. No Wi-Fi, and we didn't want to take our laptops and stuff. So Samar, we did miss you as well. Best game week Samar has had in a very long time, Sam. 86 points.
Nice. Very good. Points,
up into 53K, Samar.
Very nice.
Early days, mate, but that is very good. Wilco is in. Of course he is. Hey, Wilco. Very nice to see you, mate. All weekend. He's been ill all weekend. Oh, sorry to hear that, mate.
Wilco.
But Darwin has made him feel just that little bit better.
Oh, I thought he might.
Just that little bit better. I'm the same, mate. And Joseph Maloney. Thank you, Joseph, for the super chat. Joseph says, what a result at St. James's today. You'll never walk alone.
The Liverpool fans are all out now.
The Reds are all
in. A couple of hours ago, they wouldn't have been out, would they?
They're all in.
And Joseph and Wilco.
That is also Joseph's first ever super chat. So thank you, Joseph,
thanks, Joseph,
the super chat. And you are absolutely right. People are saying that my pronunciation of Udogi is absolutely right. Pronunciation is fine. Udogi. There you go. Udoli. Destiny. I'm looking at, for sure.
I think there's a few, actually, from a Spurs perspective that you could look at. I mean, obviously, Madison would be top of the pile. If you don't have Madison, I think he looks like the one to go for the next Everything's going through him. He looks like, and to be honest, he'll be a bonus point magnet if he continues to play in the way that he did against Bournemouth. If he's allowed that freedom to drop around, go forward, all the good stuff's going to come through him. So it makes a lot of sense. But I think that the thing that is good about Spurs from an FPL perspective, when you think about the next 2 weeks that we have coming up, is that you could go with, you could absolutely do what you're saying and invest in the defence, because I think there's opportunity there. Udogi has got the attacking potential more so than some of the others. Poro on the other side has nailed that spot, in my opinion, at the moment. I think Royale's going to struggle to come back, which is what I was saying at the beginning.
One of them
will nail it. It's just working out which. It seems to be Poro that he's favouring right now.
Yeah.
But there's still enough doubt in me that Royale doesn't come back in for one that I wouldn't want to play a part in that.
But here's the challenge, though, Sam. Christopher Cox. Thank you, Christopher Cox, for his first ever super chat as well.
Thanks, guys.
Great super chat, Snuggers. Thank you. Christopher says, hey from Australia. Hey, Christopher from Australia. Lovely to see you. Thanks for joining. And again, if it is your first ever FPL Family live stream, then welcome. Make sure you hit that sub button on your way out, mate, won't you, after tonight? Loved watching Madison. Loved watching him. Great footballer. Don't know how to get him in, though, Sam. That is the problem, right? His midfield. So here's Christopher Cox's midfield. Bruno, Saka, Mbomo, Foden and Diaby. That sounds good, doesn't it? So how the hell do you get Madison into that midfield? Difficult, isn't it?
It is difficult. And one thing that I will say is that's going to be the problem we have a lot this year, is that because there are less premiums in the game, maybe even less if Salah does go, we don't have I just have to get you back for all those years you talked to me about Kane leaving and upset me. So I'm going to have to mention it multiple times just in case, just to wind you up a little bit. Because we have less premiums in the game this year, and because like even Trent is not really an option at the moment, that means that we don't really have to think about budget so much, which allows us to have these really lovely midfields, like the ones you're talking about. Plus, in there, you've got two of the 6.5s who are really performing incredibly well at the start of this season, all of those guys in that bracket. So because of that, because there's so many options, you don't have that easy switch out player that you can move around, which difficult, is maybe what you would have done with the likes of Maddison. Now, Saka and Bruno are interesting. Maybe we'll talk about them a little bit more later, because I think they would both have been potentially on the chopping block for a lot of managers this week. But then both returning, but they do play each other next week in a tough fixture. So we'll talk about them more later. But I think Maddison, if you are really struggling to get Maddison in, I think there are other options you could look at Spurs, one of which is to go with the defence. So Udogie on one side. I think I love what we're seeing from Van de Ven. I think he looks great. And one of the things that I will say is that we are going to win a lot of set pieces. And Maddison's delivery of set pieces is elite, absolutely off the charts. When we win those set pieces, Van de Ven and Roy and Romero will be target men for him, because they're our tall ones. So they will be the sort of players that he's aiming at. So there is definitely potential for investing in those guys as well. I think the problem you've got at Spurs is that if you don't want to go for a Spurs defender, and I don't know why you wouldn't really with the next two fixtures in mind.
Yeah, I was more than willing to wait that out, because I didn't expect you to be defensively quite as... I don't think you did either, right, coming into the season.
But
Bissouma has changed all that.
But I think the problem you've got is that normally at Spurs you'd go, well, I'll just get a forward, but there isn't one. Because we don't have Kane there anymore. And Richarlison's obviously classified as a midfielder, and you're not going to go there. So I think if you can't get to Maddison because you've got the sort of midfield that was just discussed there, unless you're happy to sell one of the likes of Bruno or Saka, or swap out one of your midfield... I mean, you could maybe go for a bit of a change about and get Watkins instead of Diaby, or you could get... what was the other option? Wissa instead of...
Mbeumo.
Maybe you could do it that way. But if you don't want to do that, then I'd just have a look at one of the Spurs defenders, and that might be the best way to get invested in Spurs if you've got problems in the midfield finding a space for Madders.
Yeah, all right. Well, listen, impressed with Spurs, I have to say. Impressed, particularly defensively.
It's really good.
I thought you'd score goals under Ange, but the solidity at the back, I think except for maybe Billing having a reasonable chance at the end of the first half,
But the keeper dealt with that well. The keeper, I remember someone on the first live stream coming on after the game week one saying, somebody said, you've got a problem with your keeper. And I said, absolutely not, couldn't disagree more. And we've seen over the last couple of weeks, Vicario just needed a bit of time to bed into the Premier League.
Sure.
He's a quality goalkeeper.
Sure. All right. Well, let's move on to another player that we will surely be looking at for our midfields for next week. And we'll have the same issue that Christopher Cox's Super Chat was talking about, right? We will all struggle to get in Raheem Sterling, if that is a player that you want to get into your team. Chelsea 3, Luton 0. I know it's Luton at home. I know the narrative, I get it, right? But Chelsea did a pretty good job. And I sat here maybe last week, we weren't here last week, maybe on a podcast or something that I did, when I was talking about the fact that, you know, Chelsea have got the fixtures to make it click. Pochettino's got the fixtures to overturn that West Ham result and get the good vibes flowing again at Chelsea. Mm. And somewhere along the line, they're going to smash somebody. Along the line, there's a big score. And this could have been a big score, by the way, because they had more chances than the 3-0 suggests. Good performance, wasn't it? And if you bought in Jackson this week, fair play. If you did a Watkins to Jackson, or you sold Salah for somebody and you used that money to upgrade Jackson, fair play. Good work, like that. I'm going to talk about him a bit more just a second. Gusto, obviously, if he wasn't on the radar already, now is even more so. Took a price rise, didn't he, almost immediately?
Yes.
Because the markets are bonkers, because we're only in game week 3. So, you know, as usual, I think our advice here on FPL Family is to sort of just take your time with the transfers. We've got a lot of League Cup action coming up this week, but that won't stop the masses from going into a 4.1 starting Chelsea defender who just got 2 assists against Luton. I mean, and to be fair, why wouldn't you? Do you know what I mean? Why wouldn't you? So if you got gusto and you didn't bench him, because I did see him on a lot of benches, if you didn't bench him and you played him, well done. That is really good and a nice haul for him. But Sterling was man of the match for me and the real standout. And at 7.1 in FPL, yeah, still super, super value. So Chelsea, all of a sudden, particularly with these fixtures, Sam, let's just have a look at the fixtures coming up. They're right up there, right after Luton. Forest and Bournemouth up next. Villa at home. Fulham away, Burnley away, and then the Arsenal game in game week 9. So certainly for the next 5 weeks, that Villa at home game, tricky little game. But apart from that, they all look like games where Sterling, Jackson, Gusto, you want a bit more than just Chilwell on your team, don't you? Which is where you and I currently are.
Yeah, but I mean, I went on a lot of things this week, and on every one of them, the pod, the show, the scout deadline stream, the Q&A, on all of them I said Sterling was the one I fancied. But the midfield five is so important that I wasn't prepared to take a punt on him.
Yeah.
In case he was wrong.
Yeah.
So I said I wanted to wait and watch Friday night. And although that's a little bit frustrating given what happened on Friday night, I'm also really glad I did, because I feel like it has given us all some clarity on Chelsea. Now take... Yeah. We shouldn't forget that it was against Luton. But nonetheless, we saw a bit more of how Chelsea are going to play. And... Mm. It was really interesting listening to what Sterling said after the game. So they asked him a really interesting question about why did you play a different, like, why were you playing differently tonight? And he said he, in the past, was being asked to do a different job. And Poch went up to him, a bit like you were talking about with Postecoglou, put his arm around him and sort of went, what's going on? And he said, I don't really want to play this. This isn't my game. I want to do this. And Poch went, go on then.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah. Express yourself.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. Yeah, yeah.
So he went into game week 3. And did the things that we used to see Sterling do 4 or 5 seasons ago.
Yeah.
Now, if you've got a manager that tactically allows Sterling
and to believes do, in you as yeah, well to do your thing, right?
Allow Sterling to do Sterling things, we will see that more often from him.
Yeah.
So, it goes back to the super chat that we had earlier. It's tough because I look at my midfield five and go, oh, I want you, Sterling, but
don't
who?
Know how.
Because yeah. Bruno's suddenly gone, oh, you can't sell me. Diaby's yeah. gone, you can't sell me. Madison's gone, absolutely no chance you're selling me. So I'm looking at my midfield.
And Bremo was still...
I don't have him, but...
Yeah, he was still in the mix, though, wasn't he, in that game?
But he's in the mix. Yeah. I think, you know, if you... There's none of the midfielders really performed so badly that you'd think, right, off you go. Don't I'm a, unless yeah, you've got
no,
Eze.
There's no obvious sell. Wow, even no. He played well.
Yeah, but there's no one else in that team that's going to help him.
True enough.
So
yeah,
I think if you've got Eze, you can do that. You just make that move.
Well, we had first hand, we've got to give a shout out to Az and Yelena, haven't we?
Yeah.
So we've had a lovely day today. So Az and Yelena have been round here today.
We they might drop in the chat later when they get back.
Sure they will be. So we had a bit of a barbecue and stuff going on. But they went to the Brentford game, Brentford Palace at the weekend. And they said, and it's weird what you pick up when you go to a game, you watch it and you see different things, you see different angles. And Az was saying that Eze was head and shoulders the best player in that team. Head and shoulders. Everything goes through him. They always look for him. He's their man. And then I said, well, you invest in him in FPL then? And he went, well, no, because what's around him is not good enough to propel him to the sort of heights that you'd want him to be at as an FPL asset. You stick him in Spurs, or you stick Eze in a...
City, or in
a lot of other teams, frankly, but Palace just haven't got those players around him for him to benefit from the XG and the XA. So, yeah. Oh, they are here. Hey, Az, how are you doing?
There they are.
Az is in, and Yelena is in as well. Hi, guys.
Hope are they in got, separately or are they in
hope
together?
You got home all right. yes, I think they did.
Hope the courgette made it home.
Yeah, you gave them a courgette. That's a whole other live stream, guys. We can't even go into about the courgette gate. But yes, Eze looks like a sell, but yeah, I don't know. Sterling, though,
if you can...
for sure. If you can find a slot for him, as hard as that might be, he's one to have an A.
Yeah. And then I think... So I think this week has given me a lot of clarity because I do really want Sterling, but my midfield five, I struggle to get him now because actually I'm quite happy with the five I've got there now. Foden, maybe that's a conversation for a minute. But
yeah,
the rest of them I'm quite happy with. I do have the João Pedro spot. We'll come to them in a second. who could easily be Jackson, and it's far easier to get to Jackson than it is to get to Sterling in terms of the way that I can manage my team. So although I really, if I had the ability to choose anyone to partner Chilwell as my Chelsea 2, because I think it's still a Chelsea 2 at the minute, then I'd want Sterling.
Yeah.
But I think with the way, when you take into account what's happening across the midfield positions, I think it will probably Jackson's end up being Jackson because it's easier.
And I have to say, I thought Pochettino, again, we shouldn't be shocked by this because he's an elite manager, in my opinion, but the game was kind of won, wasn't it? They had 2-0 up and they looked pretty comfortable. The game was kind of won. And he started to make subs and he didn't bring off Jackson. And I was like, he's such a bloody clever manager because he knows he needs his striker to get off the mark. He can see the game state. He can see the way it's going. The way that the game was set up, for sure, Jackson could get on the score sheet. No better opportunity than with Luton trying to push for a 2-1. Get him in the game and he'll get him behind and he'll score one. And he did. And it's just like Pochettino, that's so... Again, you go back to this emotionally intelligent thing that Ange's got, in my opinion. Poch has got it in spades because he knows, right, I'm going to leave my man on. I need Jackson off the mark. And now he's off the mark. The monkey's off his back. Who knows? I mean, I'm looking at him and going, well, I think ideally like at least one more game to have a look at Chelsea and see whether they can play at that sort of tempo again, whether Jackson can do the business again. But then I'm like, well, come on, it's Forest at home. How much more do you want to see? They've just played Luton at home. They look really good and he looked good. Forest at home, just stop messing about and go for him, especially when you and I have got João Pedro, which we need to come to in just a second. We had a couple of super chats, Sam, just as we were talking Chelsea there. Let's go back to Raheem Khan. Hey, Raheem, a member of the FPL Family YouTube channel for 17 months, by the way.
What?
17 months. I think Raheem is the OG.
Oh,
is he? Raheem was the first person to join us here on the FPL Family YouTube channel. And if, like Raheem, you would like to join the FPL Family YouTube channel and support what Sam and I do, there is a little join button next to the subscribe button. So feel free to head over there and click that little button. Hi, Bonfields. Currently in Southampton for the bank holiday weekend, so couldn't watch the games. But wow, Sterling boosted my rank like crazy.
Yep.
Raheem, enjoy those points, mate, because I think he is going to be far more highly owned going into next game week than he was this game week. He's still a nice differential, though, so fair play for bringing him in. And we've had a super chat from Nigel. Hey, Simon, how are you doing? Hello, Bonfields. No hits, which is unusual for Simon, by the way.
Has that ever happened?
No hits. So we've got two free transfers going into game week 4.
What?
He's still 10 points worse off. Should have done a minus 28. you shouldn't, mate, no. Want me some Spurs and West Ham action? Well, yeah, I mean, listen, let's go there next. I think we're done on Chelsea. For sure, Jackson, Gusto, Sterling, all on radar. And for me, given that I've got a Gabriel issue, as I mentioned before, still in my team, and I'm looking at you, Doggy, also looking at Gusto and doubling up on that Chelsea defence. Also looking at him because I thought he was really attacking and he came forward every time with intent. Really, really good. Let's have a look then. Who did I mention a second ago? Who did I say we should go to? I've got to go back to the Super
West
Chat.
West Ham.
West Ham, that was it. Yes, West Ham. So, the evening game. Brighton 1, West Ham 3.
You might
want to
make a tea.
Might be time, as for you to go and make a cup of tea. Although, interested, you're getting the chat. Let us know what you thought about this game. Utter dominance from Brighton.
Yeah.
Utter dominance from start to finish from Brighton. How the hell have West Ham won this game 3-1? Talk to me.
Because West Ham were clinical with the chances that they created.
That's a fact. Yeah.
And Moyes...
How good was Antonio's goal, by the way? Yeah, they were great goals, right?
But Moyes just tactically got it right, didn't he?
He did.
They dealt with all the pressure that Brighton created. And when they got an opportunity, they took it.
Yeah.
So you can't really say much about it other than that West Ham did their job well.
Smash and you could say smash and grab, but at 3-1, if it was 2-1, you'd say smash and grab, but 3-1.
Yeah.
They were 3-0 at one
time. And the one goal was a consolation right at the death. Yeah. Like, all right, they could have scored another one right at the death as well. There was another moment where... Oh, I can't think who it was. Was it João Pedro? Somebody right at the end had a shot and I was like, oh, that was, and it was a good save from Areola. I can't think who it was.
By the way, and we do have to give a shout out to Areola. I mean, it says 9 saves here on the FPL website. I can't believe it's as little as that. He was unbelievably good.
He was really
unbelievably good.
Yeah. I think for me as a West Ham, if you are let's take João Pedro out of the conversation for a minute. If you're invested in Brighton, as in Estupiñán, Matoma,
March,
Gross, those sorts of players, don't panic about this result.
What are we saying about their fixtures? Brighton,
well, the
going
fixtures
forward?
Aren't
because,
great now.
Well, this is it. Because a lot of managers were looking at game week four and saying, well, Brighton 1-3, yep, got it. But Brighton 4 going forwards, it's Newcastle, Man United, Bournemouth at home, which looks nice, obviously, in 6, Villa, Liverpool, and then I think the fixture that is being obscured by the Fantasy Football Scout Network logo is Man City away. But so it is not easy for Purvis and Co. from here.
But equally, those teams that you've just said in the next few weeks, Newcastle, they're not keeping clean sheets. Mm. Man United, they're not keeping clean sheets. Who's next?
Then it's Bournemouth at home in 6. Then
they're
it's
Villa,
Liverpool, City.
Villa not keeping clean sheets. Liverpool not keeping clean sheets. There's goals. There's definitely goals.
They can
goals.
Score in those games, yeah. But so, what about Estupiñán, though? Because you don't fancy too many clean sheets of Brighton, right?
No, but Estupiñán's basically an attacker.
Yeah, but you're sort of now in the you're sort of relying on him for attacking points, aren't you, in these games? Because he's not going to keep too many clean sheets in that run.
I don't think that there's any reason to sell Estupiñán. Because you can have 4.5. So you don't need. So this season we were like, yes, we're going to have some budget 4.0 starting defenders. This is great. It's going to enable our teams. You don't need them. You don't need them because there's so few premiums that you need in your team.
I think you can sell them.
Budget.
I think you can.
Well, I think there's budget for you to have Udogie and Gusto as your 4th and 5th, and then you can either choose to bench Estupiñán if you really don't like the fixture until you get to the Bournemouth game, and then bring him in for that. Or, I don't think there's any need to sell him. Because you can sell Kabore and Baldock and players like that. Because
yeah,
you've got the budget.
Maybe you don't need to sell him. But if you're downgrading a 5-point whatever he is to a Gusto for 4-point, you're saving like a million. If you need
that
million.
That? What are you going to do with it?
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, because it's a different. It already feels like a different game of FPL.
Because if you haven't got Salah, you don't need to save a million.
Yeah, and Adam Stevo is in the chat. You're quite right. You can bench him. I understand that. I just don't know. I mean, look at the bottom of the ticker and Brighton are right there. You look at the top and Chelsea are right there. It just seems like an obvious choice.
It does, but I also think that Estupiñán will pick up points in these weeks. Like, he might be down the bottom, but I would expect Estupiñán to bring points in the next few weeks. So benching him could feel problematic, that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
You could look at your bench in a couple of weeks' time and go, I've benched 12 points for Estupiñán.
Yeah, okay. All right.
João Pedro is different.
Talk to me about João Pedro then. Yeah, what are we doing about this guy? Because we've both got him.
We have, and I could have sold him this week, but I chose to upgrade my non-playing at all forward instead in Mubama.
Yeah, you got rid of him.
Got rid of him instead. Yeah, yeah. So I've got João Pedro left. Now, I wanted to keep him because of the injury to Enciso. So I was like, all right, well, Enciso's out, I keep him. And then, in the press conferences on Friday, and I think this is the reason why you played João Pedro, because you missed this.
Mm.
De Zerbi said about, I'm 100% starting Ferguson.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, that's really frustrating, because does that mean he's not playing João Pedro? Now, actually, when you listened to the question, there was a little bit of doubt in my mind that was, okay, does he mean that he's going to play João Pedro with Ferguson or just play Ferguson? So I decided to bench João Pedro this week anyway.
Yeah, good decision.
Which was actually the right decision, but I was worried about that.
He's now, also come out and talked. He's said some comments that you just don't like to hear.
About him not João being
Pedro,
quite...
About he needs to learn to press and track back and the defensive side of his game needs work.
Which is true.
It's a bit Klopp and Nunes, isn't it? And it probably is true. Yeah, it probably is true. I didn't make much of... And I didn't watch the game that closely, so you might tell me I'm wrong here, or Az can tell me I'm wrong, but I didn't think too much of Evan Ferguson's performance. I thought he was a little bit static at times. Or is it just because it's his first start of the season?
Probably, possibly. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Look,
I like him. He's a nice player.
I think the thing is that Brighton will score goals. João Pedro, I think, will score goals. I think he'll get plenty of game time. And in a normal season, I'd say I'm keeping him as my third forward.
Yeah.
But this year, I've got $4 million in the bank.
Yeah, bonkers,
so, I don't need to keep him. Now, the problem I'm going to have is that if I upgrade João Pedro, who the hell am I benching from my front eight?
Yeah.
Because every week, somebody from Saka, Bruno, all of those, one of them's got to be benched every week. and it's a headache.
Yeah.
However, when you've got a player like Jackson, who's playing well, and I would, even without a return today, I'd bracket Alvarez in there as well, upgrading João Pedro to one of them because you've got all this money makes a lot of sense. If you really don't want to upgrade them, then move over to the Bournemouth 4.5. What's he called? Semenya or Semenya?
Semenyano or something,
something like that. He had a great shot, to be fair, against Spurs. Could have gone in. Didn't, but could have.
Mm.
You could go to him. He's playing every week and he's going to save a million. So if budget is really tight...
And Archer, there's an Archer got a move.
Archer's just moved to Sheffield United. He's got the number 10. He's going to start every week. So you are going to have 2 4.5 you options. Could go to. So you could go down if you want to, or look at the likes of Jackson, Alvarez, one of them.
Okay. All right. And then, so Brighton, we're not panicking, although the fixtures are difficult going forward.
Yeah.
João Pedro owners should be prepared to act. I think I certainly am. West Ham, though. Surprise package for me so far this season. Sitting second in the league. Very, very good indeed from Mr. Moyes. Let's have a look at their fixtures going forward. Because this is, I must admit, a team that is probably I overlooked in pre-season. West Ham's fixtures. It's Luton away up next in four. It's not easy, though. They're down there with Brighton. So it's City, Liverpool, Sheffield United at home in seven, Newcastle and then Aston Villa. So it's a very, very mixed to difficult schedule for West Ham. So on that basis, we're probably not moving on them until at least seven, are we?
Well, if you've got a Eze issue, you could move to a Bowen or a James Ward-Prowse for a week, target the Luton fixture, and then move again to Sterling or whoever else you fancy in that bracket. So you could play it that way.
Yeah.
I think after that game, the other thing we need to consider here is, of course, after international break, we'll start to see European football coming back. West Ham are playing in Europe.
Yes, of course they are, yeah.
They don't have a hugely big squad, West Ham. And we did see the impact of their European exploits on their Premier League form for quite a bit of last season. And I would expect that to be similar this season as well. So I think you can do it for the West Ham versus Luton in game week four. But after that, I think you're going to want to move them on. So I've been pleasantly surprised by West Ham in these opening few weeks.
Same, very good.
And I think they'll get a good result against Luton next week. But it also kind of wouldn't surprise me if West Ham have a great start to the season and then go and lose to Luton.
Could happen, couldn't it? Could happen. Sam, before we move on, a quick shout out to Majed. Thank you, Majed, for becoming the latest member of the FPL family. So Majed is new to the FPL family. What do we call this? The memberships, isn't it? Memberships. So thank you, Majed, for becoming an FPL family member. So Majed, get your question.
Welcome
to FPL family. Get your question in the chat, mate, and we can answer it live here on the show. Where should we move to next time? We've got to rattle through some of these games because we've got loads to discuss and not a lot of time to discuss it.
Can we go to Liverpool next?
Oh, I was going to do Arsenal Fulham. Okay, yes, of course we can go to Newcastle versus Liverpool.
Because I think there's a lot of interesting conversations to be had here, because obviously a lot of people, including you and I, sold Salah this week.
Yes.
There was the benching for Jota.
Yeah.
Does come on and get the assist that has now been given, I think. I think I read that just as I was coming on.
Chat will confirm, but I'm pretty sure I've seen that being given, yes.
I think that has been given now.
Yeah.
But Jota nonetheless benched. Luis Diaz, the unfortunate hauling because of the red card to Van Dijk.
He was the sacrificial lamb, wasn't he?
He was the sacrifice.
Didn't look happy about it either, nor was I, I'll be honest.
The Liverpool defence continuing to not be investable, in my view.
What a mistake by Trent. Oh, goodness me.
But What a lot of managers, if you've got Salah, I think will still be looking at this going, okay, it's another game week, another return, but still another low return.
Yeah. Is that now like 5-5-5, I think, for Salah?
Yeah. So what's your views on Salah? Because he's taken up a midfield slot.
Well,
what should managers who've got Salah do?
Difficult one, isn't it? Difficult one. Because, again, if you look at the City fixtures over the next few weeks, you ain't captaining anybody other than Haaland. And no. I know he missed the pen and all that today, and we'll come to that. But still...
I might captain Madders next week.
Well, it's brave to go against Haaland right now, but it's definitely a conversation. Whereas I think in game week one, I don't think any of us were saying, well, there's no conversation to be had. It's Haaland. But now there's a conversation. But to that end, I don't think that you're going to be captaining Salah. Yes, he's chipping in with the assist, which is great. All right, missed the pen, didn't he, the other day? I don't know. I mean, he might not be a Liverpool player this time next week at the end of the day. I mean, such is that. Yeah, listen, I'm very, very upset about it. And I would hate for him to go, but I couldn't blame him if he did, if it's big money and...
Won everything.
Maybe I wouldn't blame FSG if it was sort of crazy money as well, right? He's 31. He's got 2 years left on his contract.
The worst thing is it's now, though. Like, a bit like with yeah. Like, for you, you haven't got a natural replacement, have you, in your team already?
No. I mean, Dom Szoboszlai can play rights, but I don't think you'd want to do that because he's playing so well in the middle. Jota can play there. Yeah, there isn't really a natural replacement.
Play Darwin up top.
And but...
He's on form, he's a
funny one, Darwin. I mean, I know he's got the goals today, but
tell everybody what you said to us as Darwin was standing on the edge of the pitch today.
A lot of things.
say the things you can actually publicly say about
I said a lot of things, so what are we talking about?
The bit where you said there's only two things that could happen.
So it was perfect from Klopp. Perfect. And whenever I see Nunes coming on, usually I go, oh God, here we go. But today I was like, perfect. We've got 16 minutes left in the game. We've somehow got to, you know, with Alisson being a worldie, we've somehow got to 16 minutes to go, only 1-0 down.
Yeah.
Nunes is the perfect guy to come on now because he's just chaos. He might headbutt somebody and get sent off, but he might win the game. You just don't know. That's the beauty of Nunes. It's just completely you don't know. And he come on and he just won the game. And it was unbelievable. I've never seen anything like it.
The best thing about it for me was he said this, then Darwin scored and he was like going mad. And then that was the equaliser. And then he scored the winner and Lee just stood there. He didn't say anything. He just got up out of his chair and stood there. And I was like...
Well, it was so unbelievable. I'm waiting for VAR to ruin my life.
It's a goal, Lee. And he went, what? And I was like, it's a goal. He just went absolutely mental to the point where your watch told you you're in a loud environment.
Yeah, it did, yeah. My watch was like, calm down, dear.
It was brilliant. It was honestly brilliant. We should have recorded you because it was hilarious.
But it's that is what Darwin gives you, right? And that is why he never starts in games, because Klopp doesn't trust him to put in a shift or do the work. Or notice again in the post-match conference, he had to have Ali there to translate for him. So he's obviously not that asked about learning English like Klopp's told him to, right? So all of that pre-season narrative about, you know, that you and I, me in particular, was getting a bit excited about, it's going to be Nunes season, everything else. And then as the pre-season went on up towards game week one, we both massively called on it. He wasn't getting starts in the pre-season fixtures. That's because he still doesn't work hard enough. He doesn't press. I mean, yes, he's going to get the headlines, right?
He was happy today.
He's happy today. He's going to get the headlines. But I'm telling you, Jota is the player that changed that game.
Yeah.
Jota. Because Jota comes on and he presses like a bloody maniac. I say it every week. I don't know anyone that works harder in the Premier League than Jota. He's ridiculous.
Okay.
And Nunes just, he was the... I'm not going to say lucky beneficiary because it was two unbelievable finishes, but he was the beneficiary of a Botman mistake and a bit of Salah class because the assist from Salah is really good.
So, if managers want to invest in Liverpool,
yeah,
is it Salah or is it Jota or is it Diaz? Because I feel like it's one of them three.
Yeah, and the fixtures are starting to clear up a little bit now. Although having said that, Villa at home ain't easy, nor is West Ham the way they're playing. And our away games are Wolves, who have proved themselves to be tough nuts to crack under Gary O'Neill. Spurs, Brighton, Everton, right? So it's Liverpool up there.
The derby.
It's on the horizon, Sam. Game week 7, it's up there. So we are 5th in the Fantasy Football Scout ticker. But I would suggest there is some tricky looking games on paper there. How do you invest in Liverpool? It's so difficult to know.
Sell Salah? Is Salah currently worth one of those important midfield 5 spots?
No, probably not. Probably not. That's why I sold him, right?
Are Diaz and Jota currently worth one of those 5 slots?
Yeah, maybe. 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 Luis Diaz did not look happy to be hauled off. And he did look dangerous before
He was arguably your best player when he got taken off today.
But I think...
He had no choice, Klopp. He had to do it.
Yeah.
But nonetheless.
But I just see the way Jota changed the dynamic of that game. And I just think he is becoming... when we signed him from Wolves, I thought, okay, nice. But I was a bit underwhelmed, wasn't I? If you remember at the time, I was a bit like, okay, nice, we've got this guy, but a bit underwhelmed. I'm telling you, the guy, he's just like, when you talk about Klopp and Gegen pressing and high intensity, he's just so good at it. So from a minutes perspective, I think Klopp is finding it like really hard to leave Jota out. Like, it was really hard to leave Jota out today. And first half, we were absolute crap. I'm not being funny. It was diabolical, wasn't it? Trent's mistake. Actually, Trent could have been sent off before the mistake, for sure.
It's a bit lucky. Bit lucky,
potentially.
Off,
yeah. Van Dijk sent off. It's not a red, but then I'm maybe biased.
Well, it was a red. Kate explained it, didn't she, on the TV? Kelly Kate. She said it was because it was about the tackle is a yellow, but it was the fact that he was denied a goal scoring opportunity that turned it red.
Rubbish. It's not red. And that's now 3 weeks in a row. And here I go. I'm going to go off on one now. 3 weeks in a row where we've had game-changing decisions. Like Jackson with his handball here. And this is a natural position for a hand, by the way. It's hit his hand. No penalty. Game week one. Game week two, McAllister gets sent off. And then it gets rescinded. Game week three, Van Dijk gets sent off for what I consider not to be a red card. It's amazing. Like,
but you should have already lost Trent.
Yet we're on 7 points. So it's like, imagine when the refs start giving us stuff as well. We'll be good.
Oh, wow. That really was bitterness. Oh,
the refereeing. I'm not even going to go there. But the state of refereeing in this country It's unbelievably bad.
Hang on.
Right.
I've not had them out for a little bit, but I'm going to get my tiny little violin out now. It's not come out for a while.
I know.
That was very bitter and twisted.
Put me back in my box, won't you?
I'll get you some sugar when we finish the live stream.
Put me back in my
box. Deal with that bitterness.
Yes.
Let's move on.
Yeah. But as long as Mike Dean's protecting his mates, we're all good.
Actually, before we move on, let's just have a quick word on Newcastle.
Because
the fixtures remain a little bit challenging for Newcastle.
Well, listen, they're third in the ticker.
Yeah. Next week. I think they've got I think this is their last one. Is it Brentford next?
Brighton away next, then Brentford, yeah. Sheffield United, Burnley, West Ham and Palace.
The next two, Brighton and Brentford, are tough because Brighton are going to want to bounce back from what happened at the weekend. And Brentford, we've seen, have been in really good form. So the next two are quite tough. But after that, the fixtures do massively clear for quite a long time for Newcastle.
Where would you go in terms of FPL?
I think the defence, probably, once you get past that Brentford game.
Is it Botman time now? We're bringing him in, although I think he did go off with a bit of a knock today, so eyes on that.
But also, I think, you know, it goes back to what we're saying. I think we all talked about Botman at the beginning of the season because we thought we were going to have Haaland and Kane and Salah and all these people. And now we haven't got Kane in the league anymore. Salah might be off. Obviously, we've got to have Haaland. We don't have to have Trent. So suddenly, the budget feels less of an issue, which probably means it's quite easy to get to Trippier. So if you wanted to go for a trip in a couple of weeks' time, I actually wouldn't hate that as a thing.
Has Trippier shown you enough to warrant a place in your team right now?
Not right now, but I think with that run of fixtures coming,
he
might do. So that's one I'm keeping on the radar. I think Isak as well up top with the forward three, fairly flexible. I think over the next few weeks in terms of your Watkinses, your Jacksons, your Alvarezes.
I'll tell you who impressed me today. A bit of a sort of random pick, potentially. I thought Miggy Almiron was good. And were it not for a decent stop, he would have scored.
The problem I have with Almiron is it's always very purple patchy, isn't it? Yeah. So you get good runs from him. Now, as we saw a bit later than this, wasn't it, last season, just heading into the World Cup, he was on a great purple patch. And then after the World Cup, we just never recovered that form. So Almiron's always a bit iffy.
Especially with them midfield slots. You ain't using one of them on Almiron yet.
No, I don't think there's a Newcastle midfielder that I would invest in. It'll probably be Isak or the defence. So just one to keep an eye on. Okay. I think you've got the Brighton and the Brentford games to watch it before you do it. But I wouldn't panic. You know, Newcastle, I think people might be going, but actually they've been quite unlucky a couple of times now to not... Sure. Was it not for a bit of Darwin magic today, they would have won that game. Same... against Man City. It was a tough game and they could have got something out of that one too.
Alright.
Go to the Arsenal game. That's where you were going before I rudely interrupted you.
Rattle through these then. Arsenal 2, Fulham 2. A bit of a mistake actually from Bukayo Saka that let Andreas in for the goal. Andreas, a favourite from last year in FPL. And then they get ahead, Arsenal, and you're thinking, well, they're going to shore this up. Especially with Bassey going off with his two yellows,
against
right?
10 men, yeah.
And then Fulham just pull one out of the bag from who I thought was the best player on the park, by the way, Paulinho.
Oh, his quality.
Unbelievable performance from him. I know he got the goal, so it's easy for me to sit here and say, well, he played really well.
But Basuma style for Paulinho, like in terms of the way, not necessarily in terms of positioning, but in terms of the importance of him in that team.
Yeah.
So important.
Bissouma is good at breaking up the play. Paulinho is good at, like, linking and passing and just, like, also interrupting play. It was just a masterclass of how to be a CDM against Arsenal.
How is he still at Fulham? How has he not gone somewhere really
good? I'm kind of surprised that Fulham fans, a bigger club hasn't come in for him, I'll be honest.
I mean,
he was top player, and he for sure deserved the 3 bonus points here in this game. What are we saying about our Arsenal assets, though? Saka back on penalties, which I think as Saka owners, we're kind of happy about.
Well, I would say, having ignored what Jules said to me about Gabriel, I will pay firm attention to what he said on the penalty thing, because Kelly specifically asked him on the pod what she thought, and he said he expects it to be a feeling on the day. So if Saka feels it, Saka takes it. If Saka doesn't feel it, he'll give Ødegaard the look he did on Monday night, and Ødegaard will take it. So just because Saka took it now, I've learned I shouldn't argue with him on Arsenal because he does know it. If Saka don't feel it, he'll give it to Ødegaard. That's what Jules is suggesting. And for me, it's not great, is it? Because it doesn't mean that it changes. No. But equally, I don't think... So if you've got Saka, I think you hold. If you've got Martinelli...
Yeah. Yeah, but he becomes an option again now with Gabby Jesus back in the team, doesn't he? And now even Gabby Jesus, you know, you're talking about those 5 midfield slots. And okay, we're going to look for forwards. Somebody in the chat's going to tell me how many FPL teams Gabriel Jesus is in, it's going to be, 3 or 4% maximum, I'd suggest, right?
But I think that's the point, isn't it? That Martinelli, we've spent most of this live stream, an hour, talking about these 5 midfield slots.
Yeah.
Martinelli could easily, if you want to stay double invested in Arsenal, you could easily have Gabriel Jesus up top, and then use that Martinelli slot in midfield for one of these other people that we've been talking about.
Oh, there we go. Indranil, thank you for the comment. Yeah, Jesus in at 7.9 million and 1.5%.
Yeah. So you could absolutely go there and then use your midfield slot on someone else.
Okay.
I think, you know, if you've got Saliba, you hold. It's just one fluke result.
And as we said at the top, if you've got Gabriel,
you've got to
just go. Yeah, just go. All right. That's Arsenal done.
Man United.
Manu, Forest, a quick shout out to them. 2-0 down within 4 or 5 minutes, wasn't it? Absolutely crazy. But
fought back
and got the result that, frankly, I think they needed after the week they've had. Bruno in particular, talk to me about his performance, because I was super, super impressed. He, for sure, and you could see it in the emotion in his celebration, he was the reason they won that game, in my opinion, because he just pulled the game up by the scruff of the neck and was like, look, this is not good enough. We've got to be better. And he was the maestro.
That's why Ten Hag made him the captain of that team, right?
Yeah.
Good
shout.
It helped massively that Rashford was back out wide. And they had a forward on the pitch.
Yeah,
and
do you know
massively
what?
Helped.
I wasn't at all impressed with Martial, really. But him being there meant Rashford was more influential off the left.
I don't think it matters. Yeah. You could have put a goat there. I don't think it would have mattered. The fact
I didn't think Rashford had an amazing game, by the way.
But he had a much better game than he'd had in game week 1 and 2.
Yeah, it was better.
He was significantly better. And obviously when Hoyland is eventually available, whenever that might be, that will, I think, improve Rashford's game. Bruno finally showed up. In terms of the underlying stats have been there the last couple of weeks, but he hasn't been finishing. Finally, we got that this week at the point where he was on his last chance alone for me.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, that's kind of different. Now they have got to play Arsenal next week, which is a difficult fixture.
Well, let's just have a look at the United fixtures just while we're here. So yes, it's Arsenal, Brighton at home, Burnley, Palace, Brentford, Sheffield United. So. It's difficult to sit here and say sell Bruno or Rashford, despite the fact we've got so many nice options in midfield, like Madison we've discussed, like Sterling we've discussed, loads we've discussed. But if you sell for Arsenal, you want them back for that run, don't you, from game week 5? It doesn't look too bad.
No. I mean, I think now...
Difficult sell, I say.
Yeah, and also, you know, Arsenal... For all the good things that we've seen from Arsenal, I would argue that we've not seen the best of them. In game week 1, 2, or 3.
You're saying Man U?
No, Arsenal.
Arsenal?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't
Why
think
are we talking about them?
Because you're talking about whether we should sell Bruno and Rashford.
Right.
I think that they can score goals against Arsenal. We've seen that. They've been... All right, game week 1, they had a... Who did they play in game week 1? Forest?
United played Nottingham Forest. Arsenal played Nottingham Forest.
So who scored against them? Game week two, I think there has been opportunities for the opposing side to get returns. So I wouldn't put it past Manchester United to get something in terms of goals anyway against Arsenal. And likewise with the Arsenal attackers. So I think if you've got a Saka, a Bruno, a Rashford, you have to hold them for that game because you want them on the other side of that fixture. And I think there's goals for all of them.
I couldn't believe people were selling Bruno Fernandes ahead of Forest at home. As I couldn't believe people were selling him.
Are you just digging us out?
Yeah, I am. That's an outrageous transfer to make. Bruno, who was had all the underlying stats, all the XGI, Forest at home. Come on, you ain't selling.
I really thought about it. Come but on. The underlying stats was as such that I just couldn't bring myself to do it.
Oh, it's bonkers, isn't it? It's bonkers. A couple more games, Sam. We do have to rattle through these very quickly.
We talked about most of the important ones, haven't we, in terms of FPL?
Well, you know what? Every game has got like an FPL talking point. That's the thing. Because we haven't even talked about Mbeumo and Vissa blanking against Palace, but we ain't going to talk about that. We haven't even talked about how crap Everton are now. They're going to get relegated before Christmas.
How could you lose in the 87th minute?
Because they are crap, Sam.
If you've got Pickford, the one thing I'll say, if you've still got Pickford, for God's sake, swap him for someone else. Anyone else.
Being him out. The Man City versus Sheffield United. We were busy barbecuing with Az and Yelena, so we didn't watch too much of this game. But, you know, Foden comes in, gets an assist.
We enjoyed that, all of us, because we all brought him in.
Is it an assist? He just miscontrolled it and Rodri fired it in. But we'll take it. We'll take it as new Foden owners. Let's have a quick shout out to Aston Villa, a game that we didn't watch, but we're going to watch on Match of the Day.
Diaby, my hero.
Diaby, and also Matty Cash.
Oh, stop it.
Getting in with a brace, which is quite incredible. But you know what you're going to get with Unai Emery with these flying wing backs, right? They are going to get in amongst the goals. But I don't think many were expecting a brace from him this weekend.
just digging Yelena out now.
So to bench him.
You're outrageous. You're outrageous. You can't. You just dug Az out and then gone to the next game with dug Yelena out. They'll never come back here again.
Yelena was so lovely today because if I'd have had Matty Cash on my bench and I'd missed out on 17, 18 points, I would have stormed out of wherever I was and gone and had a cry in the corner and it would have ruined my whole weekend. But she was so lovely and she just put on such a brave face and you could tell inside she was like, oh my God.
Particularly when she got Morgan Gibbs-White sat next to him on the bench.
Oh, jeez. Unbelievable.
Bless her heart.
Unbelievable. Yeah. But she won't be the only one that's benched Cash this week because it was a difficult choice. But Diaby, talk to me about this lad because hadn't got off the mark up until this week. Goal and an assist, he looks dangerous as hell, Diaby. I love having him in my team.
Well, so last week I thought he was so unlucky not to get some attacking returns. And he had that shot. And when it went wide, it was like, right, okay, it's not going to be all day today. But everything was there. And he got a return in game week one. Everything was there for a return in game week two. And I felt a bit frustrated in game week two, particularly because the other 6.5 million, like the Mbeumos, the Matomas, they were all performing. And I was like, ugh. Today, a goal and an assist.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, I mean, nice. That's massive. I think he got 12 points today. That's
what are we saying
really
about
good.
Ollie Watkins then? If you've still got Ollie Watkins in FPL, what are we saying? Because just an assist
would
again today?
Would you not be a little bit frustrated that he's gone to Hibs in the middle of the week and got a hat trick?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he gets the one assist. I think the thing is,
difficult to swallow for his name, is that?
On another day, we haven't watched the game, but on another day, Watkins in a 3-1 win gets way more points than that. I think it's difficult because people are going to be looking sideways at players like Jackson.
Yeah.
And thinking, well, can I go there instead? Save some money, Alvarez. Yep. I think you've probably got bigger things to fry than selling Watkins.
He's probably a hold for now, isn't
he? So I think he's probably a hold.
He's probably a hold. Yelena's in the chat. Hey, Yelena, she's saying it's a shame to spend such a lovely day with you both and then end it by blocking you.
Don't block me. I've not done it.
Brilliant. You brought up the Morgan Gibbs-White. That stings you. That was really bad of you to bring that up.
Oh, shut up,
just,
you.
It was bad enough bringing up the cash, and now the Morgan Gibbs-White thing was just the end of it, Sam. End of it.
You are a nightmare.
Those are the games we're going to talk about.
Because you were in such a grump before Liverpool scored.
Oh, half-time in that game, I was grumpy. No doubt about it. But those are the games, Sam. Before we move on, we are going to ask you guys for a bit of a favour. We are trying our best to get nominated for the FCAs this year, the Football Content Awards. We've tried it in previous seasons. We've
come second
won
before.
Some stuff. We've been second before. So it'd be lovely to get invited to attend the Football Content Awards again this year. So for those of you...
Tickets are at Anfield.
It's at Anfield. That's one of the main reasons I want to go for it this year, because I'm buzzing to get to Anfield. That would be absolutely
amazing.
You're not
coming. I'm going on my own.
Is that right? Yes, is that right? So best in fantasy football video is what we are asking you guys to vote for us for. All the link that, or the link to go and vote for us in that category is in the description below. We'd love for you to hit that link. You have to go and find the fantasy football category, find the video thing. There's also a podcast in there as well.
Vote for the official pod.
If you listen to our podcast, if you're a podcast
We're not
listener...
We're really a podcast channel.
Sam, we get a few thousand people listen to our podcast every week. You can't sit on our podcast and say, don't vote for our podcast, vote for the other one I'm on. That's charming, isn't it?
Well, I want us to win video.
Okay, I'd like us to win podcast. Thanks, podcasters.
All right, vote for one of those. Also, could you vote for Scout in editorial, please? And that would make me so happy. Imagine if I won all three.
Oh, this is complicated now. So what? You've got to find the fantasy football categories, yeah. Scout in editorial,
yeah.
Our podcast or your official one for podcast,
mm-hmm.
But absolutely us in video.
Us in video, yeah.
Absolutely
Don't
us in video.
Don't worry about Black Box.
yes. Don't worry about Black Box. Do you know what? We should say that we are massive underdogs for this, by the way, because I've watched a lot of content this week. I think Andy, Let's Talk FPL, is asking his. I think Harry's asking. Raptor's asking.
Vocal.
So
We've got absolutely no chance.
We have got the square root of F all chance.
But we just would like to go on a nice night out to Anfield.
But it'd be lovely to have a night at Anfield. So we would love you guys to go and vote for us by clicking the link in the description below. Sam, you cheeky monkey. First time at Anfield League. No, I have been there before. Sam Vimes, thank you very much.
I took you there.
You did? Yeah. I've been to Anfield loads of times. I don't know why I even question it. Oliver, no FPL, is in. He's saying, I will vote for you guys in video. Thank you. But I will be voting for the official FPL pod because the banter is always incredible and great advice from Sam. Okay, I can live with that. If you guys want to go and vote for the official pod in podcast, I can live with that. But please, if you would vote for FPL Family in the best in fantasy football video, we would love you to do that. So thank you very much. John Robert Knight already voted. Thank you, mate.
Thank you,
Joseph
John.
Maloney, voting done. Steve Tyler already
we'll
voted for you
back
both.
Guys, ask you again.
Love you all. Thank you very much.
If we get nominated, we'll be coming back to ask you to actually vote for us when it gets to the final. So.
Thank you very much, guys. Much appreciated. let's get to
Dad's off a lot this stream.
Yeah, both Yelena and Az are both blocking us, I think, at the end of this.
We've just made friends.
Yes.
Look, Az is just, you know.
But online, it's all, when it comes to best in fantasy football video, it's all about FPL Family.
Az has won it the last 2 years.
He has, to be fair, yeah. Someone needs to knock him off his perch.
I doubt it's going to be us.
It's not us. If we wrapped her off, right.
If we can't win it, I want Az to win it.
Yeah. Totally, yeah. Or Harry. Don't forget
oh,
Harry.
Oh, I love Harry.
Yeah.
Oh, it's quite tough.
Who would you... Right.
No,
Az or
no,
Harry.
No,
let's go. Come
no.
on.
Can we have a three-way tie?
No, you can't.
Well, right. We could come first, second and third.
We could, Sam. Yeah, you could.
But then I'll lock Oscar as well.
Oh, Az is saying he's voting for FPL Family. Look at him.
Oh, I love you,
amazing.
I'll vote for Black
skills.
Box.
Yeah, love it. I won't vote for Harry. Right, let's get to our teams for the weekend. Here are our scores for the weekend. I've had a good week, Sam. It's been all right. 64 points. There is a massive slice of jam in my team with Gabriel not getting his standard one-pointer and therefore Diaby's double-digit haul coming off the bench. I'm not hiding from the fact that it's jammy. It is, no doubt about it. But he is ably assisted by Chilwell, by Madison, by Bruno Fernandes. Even with Foden's 4 and Saka's 8. So not a bad week. I was a bit gutted that the Sheffield United, I wouldn't say consolation because it was an equaliser, but the Sheffield United equaliser wiped out the Ruben Dias clean sheet. He was a bit of a differential for me, about 5 or 6% EO at my rank. So he would have been really nice to get that Manchester City clean sheet. But nevertheless, a good week. 64 points takes me up to two, for whatever it's worth, because it's still game week three, guys. Don't look at
Have
your
you
rank.
10 times
no
your
difference.
Rank? This, like, better, made it
well,
better this week? Or
bloody glad that we chose not to do a live stream this time last week, because I did absolute crap in game week two. But game week three, this game week, good. Yeah, all right, up to 232k.
Maybe it's a live stream
doesn't
thing.
Doesn't mean anything.
Maybe we can't play well in FPL if we don't live stream.
Maybe. But 232k. Without the Arby's points, if I hadn't had the jam, I'd be at a million something. So that's how crazy it is right now. Forget about ranks. It means nothing. Having said
well,
that...
Well.
Having said ranks mean nothing, Sam from FPL Family. 46k, pretty good. So again, as I said at the end of game week one, hang it in the bloody loop. 64 points, the same as me, up to 203 points. 46k, so again, another good week. It's going all right. So far, so good.
And
you did play DRB, so you didn't get... you didn't need the jam, quite frankly. But that midfield is looking... Well, that's a sight to behold, isn't it? That glorious midfield.
Yeah. I'm not quite sure what I'm going to do this week. João Pedro maybe to Jackson feels like the only thing. But who on earth is going to be benched? Who is going to get benched?
I know. Who are you going to bench out of that lot? Yeah.
Well, I don't
it's
know.
Tricky, isn't it?
Just, I mean, it's a nightmare. I don't know who I'd bench.
And partly that is why, just to go back to my team, not that it's all about me, but just to go back to my team, I've got some issues here to sort out. I think Mbama might be going down a 0.1, which is a bit of a problem. But I've got to sort this, haven't I? I've got to sort Gabriel
One transfer
out.
Two.
I've got one.
But you can't do anything yet, really, because you've got midweek fixtures.
No, and I'm not. To your point earlier on, the whole kind of price up, price down money side of things this season, I don't think is going to be as important. So therefore, I am prioritising. This is just my strategy for this season, guys. You can play it your own way, as James from Planet always says. And he's absolutely right. The way that I'm playing it is, I'm prioritising information over price rises right now. That might change. And it's different to how I usually play the game this early on, I'll be honest, because I do like to catch the price rises. I will, where I can, avoid a price drop. That's quite important. But I will prioritise information, like Maddison this week, right? You just wait for the information and know that he's going to be all right. Mm. But Gabriel is a problem. He does need to go. And it probably is going to be Gusto or Udogie. It's going to be one of those two, I think.
Spurs defender. If I'd have said to you, ahead of game week one, by the time game week four rolls round, you'll have a Spurs defender in your team. I don't think you'd have believed it.
I don't think I'd have gone there. I mean, obviously, I could look at Mbama to Jackson.
But then you've got a problematic front for eight.
It is, but I think benching João Pedro is easier than benching one of your players that you've got, because I don't know, you'd bench in your front eight, whereas I think I'd bench João Pedro.
Well, that's what I mean, is that I could do the Jackson to João Pedro thing, or what I could do is change up one of my 4.0 defenders for a Spurs defender and play them instead.
You guys are quite rightly saying, some of you in the chat, no BPS added. Yeah, I took these screenshots and created the live stream before some of the BPS were added. So yeah, the RB, I think, got three, didn't they?
The results include the bonus points because they're from Live FPL.
True, yes. So, absolutely right. So, the text in the middle of the screen here is from Live FPL. So, 64 points is absolutely what I got. If you added up all those numbers from all those players, it doesn't come to 64. It's a bit below.
Yeah.
But my overall rank and everything is right because it's from Live FPL. You're considering then, just to go back to your team, Jackson in, right?
It could be Jackson for João Pedro. That absolutely could happen. But I'm also I'm looking at that going, oh, that causes me so many benching headaches. Or what I might do is do Bulldog to one of the Spurs defenders. And I am quite keen on Mickey van der Ven.
Over Udogie. You'd go there over Udogie.
Yeah, I would, yeah. And I got to stop ignoring my gut feeling on players. So maybe actually going for Mickey van der Ven might be the way that I go.
You think there's a goal in there for Mickey van der Ven somewhere along the line because of the set piece threat?
I do, yeah.
Okay, well, it's a Spurs comment, so I'm not gonna come back at you.
Yeah, a bit like my Pape Sarr one. This week.
Yeah, he looked good, doesn't he? He looked really good. Yeah. So, the team is in good shape, right? So, I don't think either of us are... Well, I don't know about you, but I'm certainly not thinking I've got a wild card or anything hits or anything. I'm thinking I've got one free transfer going into game week four. Mm. I could roll it, but I do think Gabriel's a problem. I just want to just sort it out before he falls any more in value because it's just driving me insane, but it is what it is. That's it. So, yeah, good weeks all round. Green arrows. So, happy days. So game week three was good to us. So, we will see what game week four holds, Sam. Before we go, a quick shout out to Fantasy Football Scout. If you're not a member of Fantasy Football Scout yet, then, of course, we use all of the stats and the members area while we're here on the live stream. So, it's not too late to sign up for the new season. All the links in the description below, etc., etc., etc. The home of fantasy football is fantasyfootballscout.co.uk. It's something that I use on a daily basis whenever I'm considering making my transfers or what I'm doing in FPL. So it is your go-to source. Any news from Fantasy Football Scout headquarters to share with us?
I'm
Yes.
That the new members will be out this week.
Ooh, nice. All right. How about the app? Is there an app?
No, we'll get there. Okay, we've got to get new members out first. Okay. Best in editorial, please, at the Fantasy Football Content Awards. That'd
best
be wonderful.
In editorial.
Because they literally, the stuff that Tom and Neil create is genuinely the best editorial content you will get for fantasy football.
You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. The home of fantasy football, fantasyfootballscout.co.uk. Links to sign up to those guys in the description below. Sam, talk to us about what is coming up this week, including FPL, the official FPL podcast, Off the Bench with me and Mr. FPL Harry tomorrow, who both of us should be in a very, very good mood ahead of that.
What is happening? Because normally when you two did Off the Bench last year, Chelsea had lost, Liverpool had lost, and you were both sad.
Yeah, and it was still a good podcast. So tomorrow will be an exceptional podcast because we're both going to be in very, very good mood. So listen out for me and Harry on the Off the Bench podcast. Wherever you get your pods, probably should be available at some stage tomorrow afternoon stroke early evening. But what else is coming up throughout the week?
I'll be back on the official pod on Thursday with Jules and Kel, talking about prep for game week 4, whereas these guys will be reviewing game week 3 on Off the Bench tomorrow. And then we'll have an Ohana podcast out this week. It's a little bit of a quieter week for us this week than last week, because last week we were literally everywhere, weren't we?
You were very, very busy last week, particularly on Friday.
Zone,
we had Fan Zone and Sky.
I did the FPL show. Yeah. I did the deadline stream. It was a bit chaotic. There is no Sky Sports show this week because it's transfer deadline day on Friday. So there's no Sky show this week. But it will be back the week after the after the international break. We're on that one live from the studio.
Excellent.
When we come back from
the first time
we'll
have been in the studio in the new Sky Sports new studio.
So this week you'll be able to catch Ohana on Friday. That'll be out Thursday night, Friday morning. Official pod on Thursday afternoon. And if you are a fan of the Q&A with Az and I, hopefully with no sound issues this week, we'll be on Thursday rather than Friday this week. So we'll be out at 4 o'clock on Thursday.
Nice. All right. Well, there we go. As usual, to look forward to in the fantasy football community and the FPL family community. You will see Sam and I on all sorts of stuff as we go through the week. But for tonight, thank you very much for joining us, guys. Thank you to the new members that joined us in the Super Chats. We appreciate all of you. Hit that subscribe button on your way out. Leave us a like before you go, and we'll see you this time next Sunday, 8:30 at the same time, when we'll be discussing game week 4. See you then, guys.
Bye, guys.